Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Our Journey to Easter series called Miraculous explores how the signs and wonders of Jesus, all these miracles that he performed, attest to his divinity. He is the God of miracles. And through him, all things are possible. The Bible itself is a book of miracles. And it's filled with people that are facing hopeless situations and difficult circumstances. But despite the trials and trauma of mankind that they faced throughout Scripture, every single time we see God come alongside of people, bringing his super into our natural and providing a miracle. Miracles are not something that we look back on as a part of our history, but something that we see in our lives today. God is still performing miracles. And every situation that we face holds the potential for a miraculous solution. Now, today, I want to look at a miracle of physical healing that Jesus performed that was so powerful not only then, but even in our lives now. And it's found in the book of Luke. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 12 through 15. Scripture says this: "One day while Jesus was ministering in a certain city, he came upon a man with leprous sores." So this man had leprosy, which was not the kind of diagnosis that you want to get. Because back in that day, it was incurable, and it was extremely contagious. Nobody wanted to be near you. All the lepers were seen as outcasts. And so people kind of pushed you to the margins of society. But Jesus had a particular love for these kind of people, those that had been banished from society. And if that leper did decide to go out and roam around, he could have been stoned. They could have been stoned, he or she, in that situation. And if they were approaching a marketplace or a city, they would have to yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Can you imagine? Like, how horrible that would be. Just look at that in today's context. If you're going down to Costco and you were sick and people didn't know what you're talking about, and you start screaming out, "Unclean! Unclean!" If you want to clear a room very quickly, that's the best way to do it. So this is the situation that Jesus steps into when he encounters this man. Scripture goes on to say that when the man recognized Jesus, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet and begged to be healed, saying, "If you were only willing, you could completely heal me." Now, can't you just hear the faith in this man's voice? He recognizes who Jesus is. He knows that he could heal him, but like many of us today, sometimes we're a little unsure if he's willing to do it. We know he can, but we don't know always if he will. Well, let's allow Jesus to answer that question today, if he's willing. Scripture goes on to say that Jesus reached out and touched him, something that in that day nobody would ever do. I'm sure his disciples were kind of losing their mind from a crowd control perspective, trying to keep this guy away from Jesus, trying to keep him away from the master. But that's what I love about Jesus. I love his heart to touch the untouchable, to love the unlovable. And so Jesus reaches out, touches him, and he says, "Of course, I am willing to heal you. And now you will be healed." You see, in this moment, Jesus embraces someone who likely hadn't felt the touch of another person for many, many years. Not even a handshake or a pat on the back. This man was used to living in complete isolation. People that if he was walking down the road, people would cross on the other side to get away from him. Scripture goes on to say that instantly the leprous sores were healed and his skin became smooth. Oh, Jesus, we need you to smooth some things out in some of our lives today. And then Jesus said, "Tell no one, that this has happened. You see, it wasn't time for him to be known yet. But he said, but go to the priest, show him that you've been healed, and to show that you are purified, make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded. I love the fact that generosity follows this miracle. It's this recognition that only God could have made this happen. And that in our own lives, even today, when he blesses us, that we are then in a unique position to bless other people. And then he goes on to say this, which is really the focus of our message today. He says, you will become a living testimony to them. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a living testimony of his goodness, of his love, of his healing power. And it says, after this miracle, the news about Jesus spread even farther. So these miracles proclaimed his name. It says, massive crowds continually gathered to hear him speak and to be healed of all their illnesses. Now, last week, in our first episode of the series, we showed a clip from The Chosen. This is a great series. New season is in the theaters now leading up to Easter. But today I want to show you a clip of what this moment may have looked like. And if you haven't seen it yet, listen, I encourage you to check it out. You can see it and support it if you go to thechosen.tv or go to the Chosen app itself. But you will be blessed when you see this creative way that the life of Jesus and his disciples are brought to life. Let's have a look. Now, I believe that Luke chapter 5 says so much about the heart of God, and more specifically, about his heart for you and me, about how much he loves us. And as we study scripture, we see that because leprosy was so visible and involved kind of the decay or the corruption of the body, it serves as an excellent symbol of sinfulness. You see, sin corrupts people spiritually the same way that leprosy corrupts people physically. So what's God's solution for our leprosy? What's God's solution for our sin? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. You see, he paid the price for our spiritual corruption. He paid the price for our leprosy, and he loved us, and he died for us despite it. And then it says he was beaten so that we could be made whole. He suffered for our wholeness, and he was whipped so that we could be healed. Our healing, it came at a very big price. Now, what's the common thread that connects all of the miracles that Jesus performed? Well, the one thing that connects every single one of them is that there was a need. So the prerequisite for a miracle is an impossible situation. So if you're feeling like you've got one of those or a few of those in your life today, then you qualify. You see, our dilemmas, our obstacles, our issues, our problems, our sickness, our hurt, and even our sin, all these things in our lives didn't repel Jesus, but it pulled him closer to us. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Then let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. I would say to you today, is anyone among you hurt, lost, dealing with a problem? Well, again, you are a candidate for a miracle. Verse 15 says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if you have sinned, you will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray to each other, or pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Never stop praying for a miracle. Never stop believing for the impossible to be made possible. Because like James says here, your prayers are powerful and they're effective, especially when you put your faith into the healer himself. Billy Graham once said that the main reason for Jesus' miracles was to demonstrate that God was with him and that he was the promised Savior sent from God. So as our promised Savior, he willingly laid down his life to provide a pathway out of captivity into the place of freedom. So it's our issues that we have today, and all of us have some kind of an issue that makes us a candidate for a miracle. Your needs nominate you for the supernatural. You know, there was an old abandoned house in my neighborhood growing up that people said was haunted. There was nobody in it. It was empty. But as kids, we didn't know any better. So we just took that, at face value and said, okay, we're going to steer clear completely of that house. Until one summer day when the boredom set in, we decided we were going to explore. As we got a little closer to this house, all of us got a little bit nervous. And one of the guys in our group said to me, I nominate you to go in first. And my response was not brave or heroic. It was, no way, Jose. I'm not going anywhere near that house. I don't care who seconds that motion. I do not accept the nomination. You know, no matter what you're facing today in life, I want to nominate you for something. Something that's much better than that. I want to nominate you for a miracle. And all of heaven seconds it. You see, your needs qualify you as a candidate. Now, over the years, I think the word miracle has been misused. And I think for many of us, that word has lost its significance. We've got miracle workers with miracle cures, making sandwiches with miracle whip, all while watching the miracle on 34th Street. People will say, it's a miracle. I made it home on time with all of that snow out there. Or all I need is a miracle. All I need is you. These are not the kind of miracles that I'm talking about today. But I think one of the best literal definitions I've heard is this. A miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting as divine intervention in human affairs. In other words, it's where God steps in. Dino Rizzo once said this. He said, it's where his power collides with our reality. All right, let me give you three things that Jesus is that we see here in Luke chapter 5 in the miracle of the healing of the leper that will help, I think, all of us today with whatever it is that we're facing. The first one is this. Jesus is aware. He's aware. He knows what's going on in your life right now. He knows all the details better than you know the details yourself. Regardless of what they are, he knows your situation, whether it's healing of sickness in your body, maybe you need forgiveness of sin, or a financial obstacle that you're dealing with, or an emotional crisis. All of us have one thing in common, and that's that we have needs. Jesus is fully aware of whatever need you have today. He knows your struggles. He knows your suffering. And he knows your shame. And just like he knew what the leper was dealing with and how he had lived his life, he knows you too. And he's willing to step into whatever moment you're experiencing and heal you. Have you ever met someone who is completely oblivious to the people around them? This is someone who is not aware of anybody else but themselves, whether it's maybe on a bus or on the SkyTrain or at the grocery store or maybe on a plane. Plane's a perfect place for it. Over the years, I've seen many people that have come onto planes that they think that they're the only person on that plane in that moment, right? There's the guy who's kicking your seat. Drives me crazy. But he's adjusting, he's stuffing things in the back there, his tray is going up and down. These are people that are not aware of the people around them, specifically the person in front of them. One time on a long-haul flight, I was going on a missions trip, and probably halfway through that flight, there was a lady next to me, to my left, and then another gentleman on the other side, and she pulls out, I don't know what it was, some kind of spritzer, and she just starts like spritzing herself, freshening herself up. But she was really spritzing and freshening us all up. without my consent. I was being spritzed in that moment. I'm like, oh, trying to breathe. But she's feeling fresh and renewed. We're just feeling like we can't breathe in that moment. And then there's the dude that feels like he can pop off his shoes, pull his socks off, and air out his stinky feet in the middle of a flight. Like, who does that? Like, are you kidding me right now? But I've seen it happen. I've seen somebody doing that. Or the guy that comes in with a backpack on and a carry-on, and he's trying to find that last spot in the overhead. But every time he turns around, his backpack swings around and just bashes people. Bash people here, bash people there, over and over again. These are people that, again, think they're the only one that matters. They're the only one on the plane. Missing the fact that there's hundreds of people around you that are all trying to settle in at the same time. Well, let me tell you what. That's not Jesus. Jesus is fully aware of what's happening in your life. He is the great noticer of details. He knows you. John chapter 10, verse 14 through 15 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. Jesus knew the kind of rejection that this man had gone through in his life. Scripture goes on to say, and my sheep know me. This man, he knew Jesus. He had heard about him. He knew that if he could get to him, that he would have the answer, if he was willing to heal him. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. You see, he knows what's going on in your family. He knows what you're facing today as a single parent or a blended family. He knows what you're going through as a college student that's maybe graduating with great concerns about what's going on in the world. Will I get a job? Can I find a place to live that I can afford? How am I going to pay off all this student debt? He knows. He knows all the details that you're facing. The second thing that we see that Jesus is in Luke chapter 5 is that he's a reacher. Jesus is a reacher. This is one of the things that I love the most about Jesus. He reaches past racism, past social stigmas and political opinions. He reaches the lost that are caught in sin without him. He reaches for the sick, for the hurting, and for the confused. He reaches for those that other people have given up on. He reaches for the unseen, for the forgotten, and for the overlooked. Now listen to me today. He sees you. Maybe you feel invisible. Maybe you feel discarded and put off to the side. But he sees you, and he needs you. You are not disposable. He has created you with great purpose. And he will reach into your hospital room. He will reach into your living room. He'll reach into your bedroom or your hotel room, wherever you are. He'll reach into this room here in the middle of this church service. Luke chapter 5, verse 13, in the first part of that verse, after the leper recognizes who Jesus is and asks if he's willing to heal him, Luke says, Jesus reached out. He's a reacher. Jesus reached out and he touched him. Now, you need to understand that for a religious Jew in that day, touching a leper was forbidden because of contamination. That was a no-no. But Jesus reached out anyways. He wasn't defiled. He healed the leper. Jesus is a reaching Savior. You're never too lost to be found. You're never too sick to be made well. And you're never too broken to be healed. This is the heart of our church as we love God and love his people. He can reach you today at the point of your worry, in the place of that anxiety that you're feeling and that despair. He's reaching for you there. And then the third one, Jesus is our healer. He healed the leper then, and he can heal you now. In the second part of that verse, in Luke 5:13, he says, I am willing to heal you. He is willing to heal you today. And now you will be healed. I'm believing today in this service, on this broadcast, that in Jesus' name, people will be healed right where they're watching this. That he will touch you at the point of your need. He is able and he is willing. Now, there's many of you here today that can declare that truth from personal experience. I know that I can. And if you've been healed by Jesus, then you are a living testimony of his miracle-working power. Maybe you've been healed in your body. Maybe a loved one you know has been healed, or their life has been spared from an accident. You see God's miracle-working power. You are living testimonies to what he can do. So today, I pray healing over everyone who's fighting sickness, over everyone who's fighting panic attacks. I pray healing over every marriage. I pray healing over our city and over our nation. I pray healing over every marriage. I pray healing for those that are struggling in those relationships. I pray healing over the hurting and the homeless. I pray healing over this church, over my family. I pray healing over my own father. Why? Because God is our healer. Jesus is aware of you, of every detail of what you're facing. He's reaching for you, and he wants to heal you right where you're at today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you love us. We thank you that you are aware of everything that we're facing, that you are always reaching for us in your love, and that your heart is to heal us today wherever we are. I pray for those here in the church under this moment, Lord, hearing my voice, that they would sense your healing power, that they would recognize that in you all things are possible. And I pray for every person that's watching on the broadcast, that you would touch people in whatever there is they're facing today, that you would heal them right where they're at. And that we would live lives as living testimonies of your miraculous power. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We look forward to you joining us again next week.